If there's one thing everyone can agree on, it's that finances can be confusing, especially when you're trying to make sure your career, family life, and everything in between is taken care of. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a budgeting newbie, or just someone looking to supercharge your financial future in about 15 minutes, this is for you. If you're ready to make your money work harder for you, and if you're ready to spark true financial independence, then you've come to the right place. I'm Teresa Arago, and this is Talking Sense. Welcome back to Talking Sense. I have Ryan Evans here for installment 2 of 3, where we're talking about different insurance topics. Last week, we talked about tales from the insurance broker's crypt, some different cautionary tales that Ryan has encountered in his career. And this week, we're going to be talking about auto insurance and how we believe that full coverage is kind of a myth. And I know that's a bold statement, but we have some things to back this up. Because, you know, when we were talking about this, there's this phrase my mom used to use where she would say, normal's just a setting on the dryer, that what you might call normal, what I might call normal are very different. And I think that's the same thing we're talking about when we talk about full coverage. It can mean a whole lot of different things.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the most basic principle that most people refer to as full coverage is the difference between the liability portion of their policy and the comprehensive coverage and collision coverage, which is what you see on your declarations page that protects your vehicle.
But let's talk about the difference between collision coverage and comprehensive, because I actually didn't know this. So when you're talking about collision coverage, that means I hit someone or something.
Correct.
Which makes sense when you think about it. But and then the comprehensive means I didn't have any control over the incident, so it wasn't my fault.
Correct.
And then the liability goes into all the costs associated with all that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, whether you were driving down the road or you hit a mailbox or you ran into a ditch or you hit another car or somebody else's property, what the collision portion of that is doing is protecting your vehicle. Mm-hmm. So it's protecting your property. And then obviously the liability portion would kick into any damages you cause to somebody's mailbox or their vehicle or their property.
Got it. And what are the state minimums for that?
On the liability coverage, yeah. So $25,000 is the state minimum liability amount, which would get you legal and will get you your tags in the state of Arkansas. $25,000 for bodily injury damages, which is damage to somebody's person or punitive damages if they were injured. $50,000 for multiple people, so per occurrence, so you, your husband, whoever's in your vehicle and the bodily injury to you, and then $25,000 for property. So
you could take out a storefront and all you've got is $25,000 limit. Okay, and we'll talk about those caps later, but I just found it interesting when we were talking about this that the limits are so low. So you can have full coverage.
Correct.
With very low limits.
Correct.
Or you can have the Cadillac version where you've got really high limits.
Mm-hmm.
Or anywhere in between. So that's why we're saying full coverage may not be full coverage.
Correct.
And then you talked about gap insurance on in like versus new car replacement and how that may or may not be included.
Correct. Yeah. So again, going back to the term full coverage, most people are referring to I want the best I can get in terms of protecting your own property, your vehicle. So you could go to a finance company or whatever, and the term gap insurance obviously covers you for when you drive off the lot and you lose, you know, a certain value and equity on that vehicle. It helps cover the loan. So one thing that makes the new car replacement a little bit different is what if you pay cash for that? You don't need the gap insurance. You're just worried about protecting you. So new car replacement would actually kick in that if you lost $5,000 when you drove off the lot and then you, say, totaled that vehicle out the very next week, we would pay to put you back in a brand new car like the one you had, and it doesn't matter what the finance company needs. But again, that kind of goes to the point of some companies don't offer new car replacement. So if ABC company calls full coverage the best they have with new car replacement, waives all glass, deductibles, those kinds of things. But XYZ's comparison, that XYZ might be able to compare on price to ABC company, but it's not even close to the same coverage.
And what I have found in talking with you is that it seems like it's much more complicated than I thought. Like I, until I met you, felt very confident that I had great coverage. And then when I went through it, I was like, wait, thankfully I do. By accident, I have good coverage, but I did not realize what all those numbers really meant. And I've been very grateful to have you educate me on that so that I can know that I know what I have. The other thing we talked about is how people seem to be focused on the wrong thing. You know, like car replacement is what most people are concerned about. They want to make sure they can replace their vehicle and not be without a vehicle if they get into a wreck, or they can fix their vehicle. Mm-hmm. There are so many other things out there. And we talked about how we feel like the biggest risk is really liability.
Yeah. So again, so many times we will have a client that will walk into our office for the first time, and we'll just use the example of like a Cadillac Escalade that's, you know, $120,000 vehicle. They'll want the best on it, and they've had the best on it previously to where they've got new car replacement. They don't have to pay $1,800 for a windshield when it cracks because of a rock, because they have glass replacement built in. They have all of these coverages. And then you'll see them have something like $100,000 liability limits on the property side. Mm. And the crazy thing is, if they got hit by somebody that had coverage exactly like them, that person couldn't pay to fix their car. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is because of the fact that we might let the bank or the finance company be in the driver's seat too often. Mm-hmm. So what we're finding out is they're being told, well, you need this amount of insurance and this deductible. But in all reality, losing a car isn't what's going to financially sink somebody, unfortunately. But let's just say you accidentally ran a stop sign, or you accidentally fell asleep with the wheel on a overnight shift at the hospital, which happens to a lot of great people, and you damage a lot of property, or unfortunately, you damage a lot of persons. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that could really sink somebody financially, is the gap on the liability side.
Yes, because what people don't realize is, let's say I rear end another car and they have to go to the hospital. Their medical insurance is not going to cover that. And I don't know if you've ever been to the hospital and seen the full bill before your insurance paid in. It adds up fast.
Yes.
And so if my liability is limited by a lower number, and that person needs to have surgeries and different things, mm-hmm. I want that person to be whole if I was at fault in hitting them, but I may not be able to. Or if it was a passenger in my car, mm-hmm. and I caused the wreck. There's think about, you know, I drive a minivan. I've got a lot of passengers. So if something were to happen,
yes,
I want to make sure I've got the coverage. But then if I cause someone else injury and they decide to sue me, then it really just multiplies the expense drastically, I feel.
Absolutely,
like.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you can protect yourself and your investment, your vehicle, but if you don't have the right liability coverage, your entire nest egg is at risk, because it's not just your insurance company they can go after. They can go after you individually and really derail a lot of your financial goals as well in the process.
Absolutely. You bring up such a good point. So we went back to the liability only, and we went back to the state minimum required liability limits. The thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is the most important thing in that sentence is the word limit. Mm-hmm. And essentially it's a cap. I don't know that most people generally understand that. Let's just say I have a 100,000 limit or 25,000, doesn't matter what that limit is. Once that limit's exceeded, it's not like you pass go. That means your insurance company has fulfilled their responsibilities and is now on to you, mm-hmm. to face the injury lawyer, or mm-hmm. to face the medical bills. And going back to what you said a minute ago, let's just say you are in a car accident and you get taken to the ER. I don't know if anybody's been to the ER lately, but there is a series of questions before they ever address the fact mm-hmm. that your head is bleeding, of, did this happen at work? Did this happen in an injury? Did this happen in a car accident? And then that's when they start determining who is going to pay our bills.
Yes.
And just like you said, if you were injured in a car accident and it was not your fault, you are now dealing with that person's insurance company to pay those medical bills, mm-hmm. and your Blue Cross Blue Shield or your United Healthcare, whoever your health provider is going to kick in secondary. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of your big exposures come in. Again, most people have worked really hard their whole life to protect an asset. It doesn't matter how big that asset is. And in most people's case, whether it's your retirement, your home, property, investment property, mm-hmm. those assets are much larger than your vehicle. So, yes. And a lot of times we are worrying when we're buying insurance on our car to protect our Buick or Escalade or whatever Or was is it a swaggin wagon?
Swagger wagon.
Swagger yes, wagon. That's okay. The nickname for my so we were trying to protect our swagger wagon when in all reality, your car insurance is protecting your retirement. And I know mm-hmm. that sounds a little off, but that's what your liability mm-hmm. coverage is for.
It is protecting your family. And I think it's really interesting. I got hit by an 18-wheeler when I was in my early 20s. And I remember the chaos of getting care and all of that. And I think it also leads into the importance of having that underinsured motorist piece mm-hmm. of it, because I've been hit a few times. I'm not one of those people that's like a magnet for it, but I've had a few accidents that were not my fault. Whereas with like the 18-wheeler, the bills are still coming to me and I had to file those with my insurance and then they just go for reimbursement themselves, which mm-hmm. was really great, but also very stressful. And I think it would have been fantastic to have somebody local that could walk me through that process. I think when people are going through something hard, they often forget the importance of a human body that can support you. And, you know, I've seen that when I've helped people through loss. Yeah. And, you know, for those that have come to me afterwards, it's always this sense of I've been trying to do this on my own and I can't.
Yeah.
Those that were already my clients, I can say, okay, here's action step 1 and 2. Take care of those this week. Let's get together next week and then we'll go to action step 3 and help them focus on what comes next. And I can imagine for you, like for me, it would have been really nice to have someone like you that I could go, hey, I got hit by an 18-wheeler. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm 21 years old. Help. Mm-hmm. And have somebody, because I do think I did get taken advantage of as far as like getting released medically too early and not getting a very good payout to cover the things that I needed because I didn't know what I was doing mm-hmm. and I didn't have an advocate. And I think we talked about in our last episode about like the race to the bottom and what we've done to yeah. ourselves there. And that's why I want to circle back to that, because I think people often forget about the value that they're paying for. You know, it's not an AI that I'm dealing with, you know, a little chat box that I have to communicate with. I can call a human being and say, this thing has happened. I need help. What do I do?
Oh, absolutely. And you said it a minute ago, we've kind of done this to ourselves. And I say we as the insurance industry. You know, you think about some very notable commercials that say, well, only pay for what you need. Mm-hmm. You can also imagine one insurance commercial I can think of an individual taking a box off the shelf and ringing it out or ringing it up like you're at a grocery store line. And it creates the persona that an insurance policy is a commodity and it's a box that's just like all the other, mm-hmm. almost like the cereal boxes. You're either mm-hmm. picking Lucky Charms or Cocoa Puffs, it's still cereal. Insurance is not created equally. And just like we were talking about earlier, how big of an impact of the big features are mm-hmm. of the liability coverages and the different versions of gap insurance versus new car replacement. But just going back to what you were talking about on the uninsured motorist side, and then potentially having things like accident forgiveness. Mm. If you've got a teenager that made one small mistake and had a fender bender, that could be thousands of dollars over the next 5 years.
Yes.
But you have accident forgiveness that could save somebody a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And we just need to be really careful, I guess you would say, as a consumer of how much we think about how easy that transaction can be. Mm-hmm. 'Cause again, and I'm not trying to overly inflate my job, but as an insurance agent, I have a license and I have to continue education to keep up with that. Because an insurance policy is a contract and it's a mm-hmm. legal binding contract. There are different things that obviously the insurance company has to fulfill and they're not all the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you've talked about this in our last episode too, about how sometimes there's things deep in there that are excluded that you may not know about. So if you're trying to go alone, I think it's really important to understand what you're doing. And if you don't understand it, don't commit to it. Don't start a contract that in any other facet of your life, you wouldn't sign a contract where you don't understand all the parameters of it, or at least I hope you wouldn't. So don't let your insurance policy be that way where you're committing to something without understanding what you're committing to. So we've covered a lot here. I'm going to give you a second. We call it our 2 cents at the end. Yeah. We're giving our 2 cents. So kind of some final thoughts for our listeners about their auto insurance that you'd like them to understand.
Absolutely. And I think just kind of going back to the point that not all insurance policies are created equally. Mm-hmm. Also, I think the most important thing to remember is you're not always worried about just protecting your property. You're protecting your assets. Mm-hmm. Again, I know that some people think that, oh, well, that's for people that have really big houses and like really big, nice cars. You work hard for everything you have. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if you're a factory worker, a doctor, a mechanic. you want to protect those assets and not find yourself in a position that just because you made a mistake that they can possibly go away.
Yeah.
And again, most people, a lot of people, some of their biggest assets are their home. We need to focus that same attention we put on our homeowners insurance on our liability coverage on our auto insurance.
Yes. And we're going to talk about one way you can protect yourself outside your policies next week. We're going to be talking about umbrella policies, which kind of have a weird, they used to be something that I thought was just silly to have because I wasn't wealthy and didn't have a pool, things like that. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about why people should consider that, even if they don't have those larger things. But I want to say, you know, as a financial advisor, my job is to protect. That's part of our statement to people, is that we help people discover, protect, and share true financial independence. And to me, insurance is so critical because I can put together the best plan possible for you. But if you don't have the right insurance coverage in place, it can all go away very quickly. So I really appreciate you taking time to sit with us and do this little mini series. Thank you guys for joining us on Talking Sense today. If you don't want to miss all of our episodes going forward, make sure you like, subscribe so you get the notifications. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes. The Jim Wolf team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or by calling our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Jim Wolf Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.